Jesus is all the world to me, my life, my joy, my all. He is my strength from day to day. Without him I would fall.
When I am sad,
he makes me glad. He's my friend.
Jesus is all the world to me, my friend in trials all.
I go to him for blessings, sends the sunshine and the rain. He sends the harvest, golden grain. Sunshine and rain, harvest of grain. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me. I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting day shall end.
Beautiful life with such a friend, beautiful life. Eternal life, eternal joy, he's my friend.
and tears fled away.
And I trust in his care. Through purging, more fruit I will bear. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistake. He knoweth the end of each
and strength to rise above.
God gives wings, God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Still lies before me, and the wind is blowing strong. When the witnesses surround me, and my strength is almost gone. When the valley plunges deeper, and life shatters all my dreams, then I lift my voice to Jesus, and He gives my spirit wings. God gives wings. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagle's wings. Let us run the race with patience, let us lay each weight aside, looking only unto Jesus, He will be our faithful guide. He has run the race before us, He has won the victor's crown, and He calls to every Christian, follow me to higher ground. God gives wings as eagles. God gives wings to fly and strength to rise above. God gives wings as eagles. When my feet begin to stumble and my dreams begin to crumble, I mount up on eagles. I mount up on eagles' wings. I mount up on eagles' wings. To come into God's presence, just to linger with the one who set me free. As I lift my eyes and see His awesome glory, I remember who He is and bow the knee.
Bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee. God alone on His throne, see Him high and lifted up and bow the knee.
Kneel before Him, all adore Him, as you live to love Him more, bow the knee. In His hands He holds holds the power of creation. With his voice he spoke, and all things came to be. Yet he hears each simple prayer I bring before him. When I humbly seek his face and bow the knee. As you live to love him more, bow the knee, bow the knee, bow the knee. He is King of all the ages, bow the knee.
Surrender, we are soldiers till we die. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Victory is our battle cry. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join our happy throng. We're blood washed, born again believers, and we sing a joyful song. King Jesus is our mighty captain, and it's him we shall obey. We're on the battlefield for Jesus, winning souls for Christ today. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. We're on the battlefield for Jesus. Come and join us in the fight. Though the enemy be all around us, we shall not be put to flight. By faith we know we have the victory, and no matter what the cost, we will fight to rescue hopeless sinners. Not a soul must ever be lost. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory
And good afternoon here on Wednesday afternoon. Hope you're doing well. We have a picture of Gideon up there for you so you can see him. Many of you have sent your prayers. You've sent gifts. You've sent all kinds of things to us, and we're very grateful for that. We're very appreciative and humbled by that, and thank you so much for that. Each and every one of you, there's so many of you, it's hard for me to thank each one of you. There's one of me, it's like pastoring, there's one of me, and there's many of you. And it's just, but it's a blessing. You all have been such a blessing to us, and your prayers and everything else that has went on, and all the gifts that you've sent, and you know, things of that nature, and we're just very blessed by it. And maybe someday we'll get to meet all of you. We plan on traveling in May, and I don't know if we're going to be near anybody at all, but if we are near you, you let me know when we're traveling that way from Minnesota. I've got two destinations so far that I'm thinking about. One of those destinations will be possibly the Grand Canyon. The other one would be South Carolina, North Carolina, all the way out there, somewhere around there. So I don't know yet where exactly we're going to go. I'll have that nailed down within the next few weeks, and then I'll figure out kind of what I'm going to do with that and get that planned for May. And I plan on being gone for 2 weeks in May and enjoy my family on the road. And so we are going to take off, and we usually do that. I do that twice a year. Usually I do that in May, and last year wasn't till June, but that was because of the stupid COVID junk. But I usually do 2 weeks in May, and then in November, I usually used to do a week to 10 days down in Kansas, but Hannah's grandmother passed away, and I don't know if we'll go back towards that way or not, but we'll see what the Lord does with all that. I'm not sure, but we're looking forward to it either way, getting away for a few weeks at that time. I usually like to do that. There's a good thaw of my brain that takes place that's good for me to do that before I hit the summer hard with preaching and everything. It'll be good. You know, I usually like to do that. 2 weeks after a rough Minnesota winter is usually a good thing for me to get in some warm weather where the sun's shining and somewhere outdoors where I can go outside and do some hiking, some walking around, looking at God's scenery out there and enjoying it. It really does something for my mind and heart when I do that, to be with my family like that, and to just give my brain a rest from intense studying and reading and all those things that I do every day, but also just to be outside in God's creation. There's something about that that just kind of opens up, you know, your mind. I mean that in a good way, a focused way, not some weird new age creepy way, but just, you know, it kind of just breaks the cobwebs out of everything and allows you to be able to think clearly and soak up what God has created out there and, you know, all that. I would love, man, I am still behind. There are things that I want to do. With my last vacation that I went on, I have all the stuff, and when it's time, I've got all the pictures. When it's time, God will guide me, and maybe I'll take you on a kind of a guided tour, so to speak, through PowerPoint, through Yellowstone, and show you some creation high points, and, you know, pictures of the flood and the remnant of all of that, and all of those things. I do want to do that. Sometime, I don't know when, because I never stop. I'm always going 1,000 miles an hour when it comes to teaching and preaching and doing everything. It takes time to do that kind of stuff, you know. And but, you know, who knows what the Lord will allow me to do sometime there with that. And I'll get that together sometime when God gets me on that. I like to teach and preach on creation and all of those things. you know, I look forward to being able to do that. So anyway, we'll see what God allows. I'm looking forward to it. I'd like to go through some of those things and see what's out there. And my children enjoy the vacation time. They really do, because they get my undivided attention. I remove any Facebook garbage off of my phone or any, and I don't really go on Facebook a whole lot anyway. But all that stuff gets kind of removed, and I'm just focused on my family and being a blessing to them and not thinking about everything else. So it's good. It's a blessing. Anyway, that'll be a while, though. We're heading into March. It's not that far away, though. It happens quickly. So we'll see what the Lord does with that as time goes by here and when we nail that down. But if we are close to any of you at that time, if we are, we'd love to meet you and just say hi to you and visit with you for a little while. If we go through the Chicago area, we always visit with Brother Mike and his precious family there, his daughters and his wife, and we enjoy doing that and eating Giordano's pizza over there. Man, good stuff. Anyway, you can't, you know, Chicago food's good stuff, but anyway, so we get there over there to see Brother Mike sometimes when we get through there. And my friend Lee Rupus, alias Cheeky. So I haven't met him and his little boy yet and his wife. I need to be over there meeting them sometime. So I'll get over there sometime and meet him, and that would be a blessing. He wants to take me out for pizza sometime in my family, so I got to get over there, and he'll take me to Lumonati's, so then I'll get the best of it. Maybe I can, on my way there, I can meet with Mike, and I'm on my way back, I can meet with Rupus, and if I do that, then I get Giordano's and Lumonati's. That would be unbelievable. That would be good timing right there, man. I'm telling you. So anyway, we'll see what happens through all that fun stuff. Check out the WFC family. I don't know what's the WFC family. I'm sorry. I don't know what that is. I don't know what that is. But it does sound like Illuminati's, but it's Lumonati's. That's what it is. Anyway, Luz, Warriors for Christ. Oh, okay. I have been through Tennessee. I've been to the Smoky Mountains. I visited the Smoky Mountain Knife Works and gone down into there and ate big fat pancakes somewhere around there. I don't know where it was. One of those towns. Boy, did they have good pancakes. Man, that cinnamon toast pancake. No, what was that thing? Cinnamon roll pancakes. Oh, my goodness, were those good. Anyway, you're making me hungry thinking about all that stuff. But I will say this. I didn't like Tennessee barbecue. There was some place named Tony's there, and it made me want to vomit. It was disgusting. And it was supposed to be like this best barbecue ever, and I tried it. I was like, wow, these people can't cook barbecue like Kansas City. Like, no way. And it doesn't even taste good. It was weird. Oh, it was weird. I didn't like it at all. It was really weird. So maybe that's just those people, and I need some good Tennessee barbecue. That could be the case. I don't want to. I'll have to eat it somewhere else to find that out for sure. But anyway. Becca, different style of pizza. Becca, that's a different style. New York style pizza. Yeah, is different. New York style pizza, way different. Way different. Becca, not comparable. You don't compare those two. Those are not the same. One is a deep dish style, which is a totally different style. So you wouldn't say like this one's better than the other one, because it's like you're not making the right comparison. So You know what I mean? You gotta try it, and then you'd like it, Becca. You would like it. It's different. It's not meant to be like New York style, but I think you'd like it. In fact, I know you would because Dave does. Dave likes it a lot. And everything like that. So he likes it. And Dave knows good pizzas. So he loves it. I took him to Devani's out here in Minneapolis or Bloomington. I took him to Devani's and he liked that. But that's not even a tenth as good as Lou's or Giordano's. But I really don't think Minnesota knows how to cook Chicago-style pizza because there's a Giordano's here, but I don't think they quite know how to do it like those people. But anyway, well, that's another point. But anyway, I'm getting off on the food tangent here. But I like to – by the way, I stick to keto. I don't eat that stuff all the time. I have times of feasting, and I will eat that stuff. But I don't eat it all the time. I don't eat it now, you know. So but I do like to when I go on vacation and I go around like that. I do like to try different foods and all that good stuff. So I do like to visit around. I still think the best food is at home. Amen. I enjoy my food at home and my wife and my daughters cooking for me and everything else like that. But I like to try different stuff when I'm out. You know, there's a difference in, you know, your home cooked food and then your out food. You know what I mean? That's a different thing. If you ever go through Colorado, you need to try mountain-style pizza at Bo's Joe's Pizza. Well now, Jacob Terry. Bo's Joe's Pizza. I'll try to make a mental note of that and remember that when I get through there to do that, okay? Yeah, I like homemade pizza also. When I'm eating keto, which I am right now, generally that's what I always do. And then when I break off of that fast, I eat some of that. They call them mountain pies. Well, Jacob, that's interesting. What is that about? What style is that? How is that different, I wonder? Because now you've got me curious. I tried Pastor Hoggard's pizza down there, Emo's or Elmo's or I don't know what it was. That was interesting. It's got some interest. They use provolone cheese, I think it is. Some people like it, some people don't. Hey, I like all different. I like trying different things, so I'm fine with it. I don't mind trying different things. Anyway, I suppose I better get off of this. I'll get some people on here that don't like to be friends with me. They just really want to, they want an information download and shut up, preacher, and do your job and just don't talk about yourself and anybody else and, you know, all that kind of stuff. They don't like that. I don't know why the people are like that, but they just don't. But I guess we shouldn't really, whatever. If they don't like it, they don't have to listen. Is that right? Andrea, you know a lot about this stuff. You're like a little food connoisseur over there in Iowa. You're always bringing up those points like that. I'm glad. And you always understand what I'm talking about when I say food anyway. You always understand what I'm talking about when I talk about food and stuff. She's like, I know what that is. Sounds like you've been to quite a few places yourself around. But anyway, I do like doing that. So I like going around and trying. I like trying different foods around the country. I do like that. And we enjoy it. And I try to, we don't go, obviously with COVID, we don't go out to eat at all really. But we don't really go out to eat anyway. So, you know, when we go on vacation and trips and things like that, we like to go to different places and try stuff. And it always helps because Grandpa's with too, and he always splits the bill. So that's always nice. Grandpa's always splitting the bill or trying to pay more and all that kind of stuff. So he always helps us out with a lot of that stuff. So Grandpa makes sure we're taken care of there with all that. And so we enjoy that. Grandma and Grandpa always go on our trips with us. They go everywhere with us when we go vacationing. I've been able to take my dad's 77, my mom's 72, I think. And they love going on. People ask them, you really want to go on vacation with six grandkids? Now it's seven. And they're like, yeah, we really do. We have a good time. See, dad likes it because he doesn't have to drive. He doesn't have to worry about where he's going or anything like that. He just enjoys the ride. And, you know, so they've been on every, you should try a slug burger in the South when you are out there. I will do that. Andrea, you make sure you send Hannah a list of things if you find out where we're going that we need to try when we're in certain areas. Because that'd be great if you'd do that. You get with Hannah and maybe she could do that. No, that's too bad, John. So anyway, so we got a lot to cover here, so I better get going here. Yesterday I was doing my let me say hi to everybody first. Teresa's on here. Let me say hi to Teresa and Pilgrim Lady. Joe McDonald, my lovely wife, is on here. Maria Teresa, Carrie Acker, Miss Mitzi, Blaine Medlin, Elijah Morgan trucking through Nazi land, California. Carl Winters, Ben Steele, Rachel Marshall, Becky Mosser, Andrea, America Montesidosa, Becca, Peter, let's see here. Everybody's talking about eggs. Rachel Bicey, how are you? Hope you're doing good there today. All right. Let it rain. Joe McDonald, I think I said that already, but that's okay. AD Marshall. FBC bad man. Danielle from Ohio. Patrick Jorgensen, Warriors for Christ. Send me information, Patrick, about that. I mean, if it's possible, I'll come by and say hi. I mean, if I'm in that area, for sure. Let's see. Holly Smith. Jacob Terry. Talking about pizza, making me hungry. John's mom got the shot. Sorry to hear that. Consisting of a patty made from a mixture of beef or pork and breading. Then it's deep fried. In oil. It's typically served on a bun with mustard, pickle, and onion. I'm in. I'll eat that. I'll eat that, Andrea. I will eat that any day. You bet I will. I'll eat that. Sure I would. All right, Glenn Fisher, God bless you, my friend. Get out there and share the gospel with people. I appreciate you. All the way over there in Melbourne. All right. Let's get going here. I would eat deep fried spam, Sam I am. I would. I absolutely would eat deep fried spam at least once. Shouldn't everybody eat deep fried Spam at least once? Pickles, Spam, mustard. I'm more of a ketchup guy. Mayo on toast or a grilled bun. I could eat it. I could eat it. Aaron, let's not get into details about the Spam. I didn't bring it. Joseph? Joseph Waller checking in. Why do you keep getting cut off, Peter? What's going on? All right, so let's get into this. We are going to talk about 70 reasons Christians should rejoice in the Lord right now. 70 reasons that you ought to rejoice in the Lord. And we're going to go through these and talk about some of these reasons today. There are so many of them in the scriptures that I chose these 70 by just studying this. The Lord led me. I was in 1 Samuel, and as I was in 1 Samuel, I noticed that Hannah was rejoicing in the Lord. And it really got me thinking. It really got me thinking that we ought to rejoice in the Lord and what that exactly means. It means that to rejoice in the Lord. She said, Hannah said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Her heart had a joyful expression. You know, Christians have 70 reasons, at least, to rejoice in the Lord. They have 70 reasons to rejoice, at least 70 reasons to rejoice in the Lord right now. As they sit here, as you and I are here in this life, no matter what we're going through today, the Bible shows us at least 70 reasons or at least 70 reasons or commands to rejoice in the Lord. That word rejoice, it means to express joy. It's the act of expressing joy. It is an outward action that you and I do, or inwardly in the heart, or with music. But we express joy to the Lord. So, we're commanded to rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. To express joy in the Lord. So this is going to be a Bible study here today, and we're going to go through all these, and we're going to be flipping through a lot of scriptures. And it'll take time, because I didn't write all the scriptures down. But I have the references down that we'll do, and we'll look at them. Try not to be too distracted, you know, with everything. But let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse number 18. I would say number one, there's no specific order to this, but I would say rejoice in all you put your hands to do. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 12:18, but thou must eat them before the Lord thy God. In the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite that is within thy gates. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thy hands unto. So you and I ought to rejoice in all we put our hands to. Every work that we do, we ought not be doing it if we cannot rejoice in the Lord with what we're doing. Next, I think of Deuteronomy 16, 14. We ought to rejoice over the feast, over the food, over the things that God has given you. Deuteronomy 16, 14. And thou shalt rejoice in thy feast, thou and thy son and thy daughter and thy manservant and thy maidservant and the Levite, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow that are within thy gates. We ought to rejoice over all that God provides us, that the food that God gives us, the very food that we eat, we ought to rejoice. We ought to express joy to the Lord that we have that. That God has blessed us so greatly. Then look at verse number 15. We ought to rejoice because God blesses our work, the work of our hands. 7 days shalt thou keep a solemn feast unto the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord shall choose, because the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all thine increase and in all the works of thine hands. Therefore thou shalt rejoice. Hasn't God blessed your work? Hasn't he blessed the work of your hands? Hasn't he blessed thine increase and all that you have? Well, you ought to rejoice over that. You ought to express joy to the Lord over that. Because God has given you that. How about Deuteronomy 26:11? You ought to rejoice in every good thing that God has given unto you. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee. And unto thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. Every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given thee. You know, when's the last time you took an inventory and rejoiced and thanked the Lord for every good thing that God has given you? When you're down and you're in a bad mood and you're struggling with things and everything else, when's the last time you took an inventory of every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee? And unto thine house. That's all your estate. That's your family. That's everything. I dare say we haven't done it enough. I can guarantee you that. We're too busy complaining about everything. How about this? When's the last time you rejoiced in what you can give to God or give to the work of the Lord, give to the ministry of God? And thou shalt, Deuteronomy 27:7, and thou shalt offer peace offerings and shalt eat there and rejoice before the Lord thy God. So when's the last time you got to give to God and you rejoiced over it, that you were able to give something to God? You're able to give something to God's work. You're able to give something to God's people. You're able to be a blessing to them. You were a cheerful giver. How about 2 Chronicles? Verse 41. That we rejoice in God's goodness. Now, therefore, arise, O Lord God, into thy resting place, thou in the ark of thy strength. Let thy priest, O Lord, be clothed with salvation. Let thy saints rejoice in God's goodness. When's the last time you rejoiced in God's goodness because he's good? Because he's good. That's rejoicing over who God is. Because God is good. Amen. God is good. When's the last time you rejoiced over your enemies? 2 Chronicles 20:27, then they returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. They were able to look at all their enemies, and they were able to rejoice and joy over that. Wow, think about that for a second. Then turn to Psalm 5:11. We're to rejoice because God defends us. Psalm 5:11. You know, they rejoiced over their enemies. You know what? I can rejoice over my enemies today. Why? Because none of them have been able to harm me. All of their plans, all of their wicked devices, all of the things that the Lord has allowed them to do unto me, never accomplished their goal. They never accomplished their goal. They wanted to destroy me and the work of the Lord. But what happened? The opposite. The work of the Lord has been strengthened. I've been strengthened. God's church has been strengthened. And we can rejoice in that and say, look at all these enemies. God has caused us to rejoice over our enemies. Psalm 5:11. We rejoice because God defends us. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. See, if you're a child of God and you've never been in the thick of it, then you know this. And if you're a servant of the Lord, if you're one of God's servants, which all of us are to be as we're saved in Christ, but God's generals on the battlefield, his preachers, his pastors, those people, you know this verse. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. You're to rejoice because God defends you. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. Those that love the name of God, let them be joyful. Let them rejoice. Do you love the name of the Lord thy God? You ought to. It ought to mean something to you. It ought to bother us when people blaspheme it. We ought not listen to that for entertainment purposes. Now, I know some people that say, oh God, and I wonder who their God is. It's not my God. Because if they knew my God, they wouldn't speak that way unless it was a plea to God, as we find in the scriptures. Turn to Psalm 31. Verse 7, we rejoice because God lifts us up, and I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something right now, friend. Let me tell you something very, very, very amazing. And that is this, that unless you've been through it, unless you've been through the grinder of this life, and unless you've been through these things, you don't understand this. But I understand this well, and some of you do too. I'm not making myself better than you. What I'm saying is I understand that. I've been through the fires. My soul has been in adversities, and God has known my soul in adversities. By the way, I have a separate teaching I want to do on that sometime. I singled that out and put that into a note, and I'm gonna teach on that sometime. But God does know our souls when we've been through that, and I can rejoice and say, yep, I get it. I know what it's like to be in the heat of the battle, in the fire. And it doesn't say just adversity. It says adversities, many of them. Because God's children, and especially his servants, must go through the university of adversity. They must. They must go through the university of adversities. But God, we can rejoice and be glad in his mercy, for God knows us in the day of adversity. He knows our soul in the day of adversity. That's a blessing right there, friend. One that you should not take lightly, for sure. I hope you're enjoying this. I hope you're enjoying just scripture today. Because this is what the Lord led me to do. Just give you Bible and give you reasons to rejoice in the Lord regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what you're going through, that you and I can rejoice in the Lord. But it's work. It means you and I express that. We're not sitting around waiting to feel better, but we're expressing that. We express joy. Turn to Psalm 33. Verse 1. We rejoice because praise is comely. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. You know what that means? It's suitable. It's proper to praise God. Praise is comely. You ought to rejoice because it is comely for you to do that. It is appropriate. It is suitable. It is proper for God's people to rejoice in the Lord. It's proper. Irregardless of the way you feel, it is proper for you to rejoice in the Lord. Psalm 33:21. We rejoice because we've trusted in his holy name. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. First of all, that's saying that God's name is holy. Holy and reverent is his name. You know, you can rejoice because you've trusted in the Lord. You can do that. You can rejoice because you have trusted in the Lord. You've trusted in Jesus Christ as your Savior. We rejoice in that. Because we trusted in the name of the Lord. Psalm 48:11. We can rejoice over God's judgments. We ought to rejoice over his judgments. Psalm 48:11. Let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. You ever rejoice, express joy over God's judgment because it's correct and it's right, even when you don't like it? Your flesh won't always like the judgment of God. And I'm not talking about going to hell. I'm talking about God's judgments when God says this is the way it's going to be. But you can still rejoice over it. You can still rejoice over it. Psalm 51:8. We can rejoice, and we should rejoice, after God chastens us and corrects us. Psalm 51:8. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David was severely chastened of the Lord over his sins. God had corrected David. And after God corrected David, ask God to give you a heart to rejoice. So you can rejoice after God chastens you, after God corrects you, after God teaches you and fixes you. Psalm 53:6, we ought to rejoice in the coming of the King. Psalm 53:6, oh, that the salvation of Israel were come out of Zion, when God bringeth back the captivity of his people. Jacob shall rejoice, and Israel shall be glad. We ought to rejoice at the coming of Christ. That he's going to come one day and he's going to fix all this garbage. He's going to fix this wicked world. If you can't think of anything to rejoice over, why don't you rejoice at the coming of the Lord? Why don't you express joy over the coming of the Lord? Psalm 58:10. You ought to rejoice because God's going to deal with his enemies. Psalm 58:10. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked. When we see God, vengeance belongs unto the Lord. He will repay. We ought to rejoice in God's perfect vengeance. It's God's perfect vengeance, and it's always right. Always right. How about Psalm 63:7? We're going to rejoice, and we ought to rejoice, because thou hast been my help. Therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. When's the last time you rejoiced in the shadow of God's wings, in his protection over you, in God protecting his people? as you have seen God protect you and keep you because he's helped you through something. And that you're resting in the shadow of his wings. That means like a bird protects its babies in the shadow of its wings. When's the last time you rejoiced in the Lord for that? How about Psalm 66:6? He turned the sea into dry land. They went through the flood on foot. There did we rejoice in him. How many times has God brought you to impossible, impassable places that you could not get through? And you either walked across on dry land, or he parted the sea for you, or he caused you to walk on water. Because that's what God does to his people. He causes them to tread on serpents. He causes them to get the victory. By the way, you're not only commanded to rejoice, you're commanded to exceedingly rejoice. Psalm 68:3, but let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yea, let them exceedingly rejoice. Exceedingly. There's rejoicing and then there's exceedingly rejoicing in the Lord. Here's something for you. Look at this, Psalm 68:4. Sing unto God, sing praises to his name, extol him that rideth upon the heavens by his name, and rejoice before his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. Think about this for a second. Rejoicing because God rideth on the heavens. That our God rides upon the heavens. Think about that. I mean, that's rejoicing for who God is and his attributes. That gets you completely out of your selfishness, completely out of yourself, completely out of your whatever situation you're in, and you're meditating, and you're rejoicing, and you're praising God for who he is. Which is what God wants us to do. Nothing lifts the depression of spirits or causes the sustainability through that. As you, when you swim in the depth of the attributes of who God is and of his works. Nothing is quite like that. When God does that. And when you focus and you praise God and you thank God and you rejoice over that, over who God is. Look at Psalm 70, verse 4. And by the way, there's a ton of references to this one. There's Psalm 40, verse 16, Psalm 35, 9. That you and I are to rejoice. Let all those that seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. And let such as love thy salvation say continually, let God be magnified. You're to rejoice because you love God's salvation. Because you actually love God's salvation. You love the plan of redemption. You love God's salvation, God's deliverance. Amen. You know, the redeemed are people that rejoice. Look at Psalm 71:23. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Those that are redeemed rejoice. They greatly rejoice with their lips, and we'll get to that again, and they sing praises unto God. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long, for they are confounded, for they are brought into shame that seek my hurt. His lips shall greatly rejoice and sing unto the Lord. The redeemed are to rejoice. Look at Psalm 86:4. It's interesting when it concerns rejoicing. David asked God to do this. When's the last time you asked God to do this for you? I'm down. I'm discouraged. I feel defeated. I'm tired. I'm at my wit's end. Look what David asks of God. Psalm 86:4. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. For unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. David asked God to rejoice his soul. Wow. I've never seen that before until this little study. Never. And I'm going to have to practice this because I've never seen that before. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. You need to ask God to do that. Now, you got to be active and you got to do it. You and I have to do our part. But we ask God, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. David's asking God to rejoice his soul. Here's another one that's the same train of thought there in Psalm 85:6. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may rejoice in thee? Okay, so we need revival from God that we may rejoice. So we ask God, God, revive us so we may rejoice in thee. You got to ask God. He said, but it should just happen naturally. Everything should just happen. I should just feel good. This should just go this way. It should just be that way. Well, that's not the way that it is. That's not the way that it is all the time. And I prove that by the scriptures right here. Because the scriptures show us that's not the way it is all the time. The whole book of Psalms is the life of the believer. And there's different phases, there's different seasons of that life. In some seasons, you need revived to rejoice. You need to ask God to renew a right spirit in you so you could be renewed and revived to rejoice. Has to happen. And you need God to do it for you. You need God to do it for you. You and I can't do it alone. Sometimes we are so down in the dumps, so discouraged. But how you overcome that is you lift your soul up, you pour your soul out to the Lord, and you ask God to do that for you. And He will. He will do it for you. God will do that for you. David asked God to do that for him. God, do that work in me. But you know what? So many of God's people are lazy. So many of God's people are just too lazy to do it. Sometimes they don't realize it. Sometimes they don't realize that they got to do that. But you know what? If I'm in such a bad mood, if I'm just in such a terrible spot, or if I'm discouraged and down and all those other things, I have a responsibility to go to the Lord to be strengthened. But I've got to go to God. It's not going to happen any other way. So I've got to go to Him to get my answers. I got to go to Him to get the strength that I need to be revived. Psalm 89:16. We're to rejoice in God's name. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. Look at that. How are we exalted? In God's righteousness. For thou art the glory of their strength, and in thy favor our horn shall be exalted. See, it's God our defense. It's God that will do that for us. It's God that we must go to get that. You say, my soul doesn't feel like rejoicing. Yeah, I know. That's why you got to go to God. Or I don't feel like rejoicing. You know, I thought about this one in Psalm 90. Verse 14. You know, verse 12 is an interesting verse too. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and that the years wherein we have seen evil. Lord, all those days that I feel as if I've lost in affliction, that I feel as if I've lost in all the trials that I had, and the heartache and the depression and the afflictions and the discouragement. Lord, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Satisfy us. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us. Lord, you gave us all those days of affliction. You allowed it to happen to us. Please, Lord, give us those days of rejoicing. Give us those days to rejoice in thee. He's praying for that. He's crying out to God for that. Psalm 97, we ought to rejoice because the Lord reigns. Psalm 97:1, the Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitudes of isles be glad thereof. You know what? I don't care who the president is because Jesus is reigning. I didn't care who the president was when Donald Trump was president, and I don't care who the president is in that sense now that Biden is president, because Jesus is still king. Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus never took a break. Jesus never left the throne. He's still in charge. You ought to rejoice because the Lord reigns. Right? You ought to rejoice because the Lord is reigning. He's in charge. Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of this earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. But Jesus is still on the throne. Jesus is still king of my life. I crown thee now. Thine may the glory be. Remember that? Jesus is still on the throne. You ought to rejoice, no matter who the president of the United States is, or whatever overinflated, egotistical, cartoon character politicians make themselves out to be. Because Jesus is still in charge. He'll only do what they let him do. Psalm 97:12, rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. You know, you and I we're to rejoice over the remembrance of his holiness. As we think about God's holiness, as we ponder it, as we reflect on it, as we engage our mind and our hearts concerning it, we give thanks. We rejoice in the Lord. At the remembrance of his holiness, that God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God is right. And we rejoice because of it. We rejoice because we remember that we serve a holy God. And that all his attributes flow from his righteousness and holiness, all of them. Everything he does is righteous and holy. Everything he is righteous and holy. And we ought to rejoice in that and thank God for that. We don't just rejoice in the stuff that we have and things that we have and provisions and our families and everything else, but we go back and we remember that he is holy and that we can rejoice because God is holy. God is just. God is right. Because look at the verses above that. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. He preserveth the soul of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for the righteous and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, ye righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. No matter what we're going through, Christ is holy. Amen. Let's see. Let's go to Psalm 106, verse 5. That I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation, that I may glory with thine inheritance. You know what? That was the Old Testament there, but it was a picture of the saints of God and the Lord's church. God's people, the Lord's church, his local New Testament churches and his people. That I may see the good of thy chosen, that I may rejoice in the gladness of thy nation. God's people ought to be a glad people. You know, I see so many sourpusses over Trump not winning the election and all this other stuff and all these other things that it's almost like God left the throne. Psalm 105, verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice seek the Lord. Your heart ought to rejoice that you seek the Lord, that God gave you a heart to seek him. You ought to rejoice in that. How about Psalm 107, verse 41 and 42? Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Look at this. It says, yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh his families like a flock. You know, I've seen this. I've watched God make families like a flock. I've watched it in this church. Seen people come here single and be married and have children. And have a family that came here with nothing. I've seen God take couples and turn them into a family. I've seen God do that work. I've watched him do it. And you know what? You ought to rejoice, and I ought to rejoice over that when we see God do that work. We can be so selfish and just seek our own joy. But God here, he maketh him families like a flock. That's his, I've seen it here. I've watched it. Watched it happen. And we ought to rejoice in that. We ought never forget the fruit of that. We ought never to forget what God has done with that. Psalm 105, verse 3, glory in his name, let the heart of them that rejoice seek the Lord. Psalm 108. Verse 7. Actually, yeah. I missed one. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Oh, wait, I did that one already. Okay, good. Psalm 108. God has spoken in his holiness. I will rejoice. I will divide Shechem and mete out the valley of Succoth. We rejoice. In all that God is doing. To see the power of the Lord. To see the grace of God. Amen. You know what? You and I are to rejoice when our enemies curse us. Psalm 109, verse 28. Let them curse, but bless thou. When they arise, let them be ashamed, but let thy servant rejoice. Hard to believe, Aaron, it's been 6 years. We ought to rejoice when they curse us. That's what we ought to do. Happy are ye, the Bible says. Happy are ye. Look at Psalm 118, verse 24. Look at this. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You and I, God gave us this day. He gave us breath this day. The fact that He made this day you ought to rejoice in it and be glad in it. But what about all my trials and what about my problems today and what about this? Doesn't matter. You know what? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice. And be glad in it. That's a declaration, by the way. That's saying, you know what? No matter what, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Man, we got to start practicing that, folks. Every day, no matter what our trial is, we need to rejoice in the Lord. We need to express joy in our hearts for what God has done. For the blessings of the Lord. How about Psalm 119, 162? By the way, it doesn't say I'll rejoice in it because everything's going my way. And that everybody does what I want them to do, and I'm happy about everything, and everything's working out great. No, it says, the reason I rejoice is, this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Irregardless of your circumstances. Psalm 119, 162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Wow. David says, you know what? I'm rejoicing at God's word because I have his word. It's like if I found a treasure chest full of $1 million. And it was all mine, and I'd be exceedingly excited about it. That's what he said. How about Proverbs 5:8? I think it is. Or is it 8? Yeah, 5:18. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. When's the last time you expressed joy with the wife of your youth? With your wife. You were thankful, blessed, a right spirit, rejoicing. How about Proverbs 23:15? My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. So when our children use wisdom and when our children walk with God, when they speak right things, we rejoice in that. You know, it's interesting to me. I was upstairs, and sometimes I like to just soak in a bathtub and read and pray and kind of just be by myself. And you know, before that, I was giving my son some correction and some instruction. About, you know, giving him some biblical advice about friends, about, you know, entertainment, about things of that nature. And I talked to him about some things and taught him some things about that, about convictions and about burdens and about following the Lord. And after I was done, I went in and soaked my bones in the bath, and I could hear him downstairs. I could hear him singing hymns. I could hear him singing music, you know, to the Lord. And that did make my heart rejoice. That made my heart rejoice. And why is that? Well, because of this. My son, if thine heart be wise, my heart shall rejoice, even mine. Yea, my reins shall rejoice when thy lips speak right things. Let not thine heart envy sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. And that made me rejoice. Almost to tears to think about, and probably a little bit maybe. I can't remember exactly, but to think about, you know, sometimes I think, you know, he gets it. He really gets it. I think he does. Or my daughters, they get it. They really do get it. And that should make us rejoice. Right? Proverbs 23:24, the Bible says, the father of the righteous, the father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice, and he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. So the father and the mother, they rejoice when their children walk rightly. He that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. I'll tell you something. Let me say something to you. This isn't talking about Disney, and this isn't talking about all the against Disney and the wicked and Hollywood and all those wicked things and superheroes and all that other stuff. But this is the type of where the rubber meets the road Christianity is what this is. This is real Bible walking and talking and living for God. This is that what we get sanctified to. See, we're sanctified from all those wicked things of the world, the Hollywood entertainment. But you know what? You'll never live in the fullness of Christ, and you'll never have the power of God, and you'll never know God unless you're sanctified unto something, and that is the Lord. You'll never have that. You'll just check off a list of things that you don't do. but you won't know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. There's a difference, friend. And there's a joy that is to be sought in that. And there's a time of rejoicing that will come from that. Proverbs 29:2, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. You know, here's the thing. It seemed like to me with our present rulers, whoever they are, you don't see a lot of God's people mourning over the wickedness of the nation. Or even talking about it, whether it was Biden or Trump or whoever it was. They didn't mourn over it, over the wickedness. They made excuses for it, but didn't mourn over it. The Bible says when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice. Proverbs 31, wife is also to rejoice in her labor and her offspring. Look at that. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. You know, a lot of mothers, you're not going to be, there's going to be a lot of days of sorrow right now. Now, we are a kind of a paradox because we're sorrowful yet always rejoicing. But there will be a lot of days of sorrow for mothers as they labor on in their work and they do their best. Mothers, and they work hard in the home, and their offspring is their work. Their husband and their offspring is their work. And they labor very intensely. And they don't see the fruit of it right away. But remember something, mothers. Farmers never see the fruit right away. Preachers never see the fruition of everything right away. Your family is the garden that God has given you. How you sow the seed, how you fertilize it, how you raise it, will come out later. You'll get glimpses of encouragements along the way, and you'll see blossoms along the way. But the fruit of your work will be in years to come. That's when your true encouragement will come. That's when your joy or your extreme sorrow because you neglected the field, the garden that God had given you. So labor now and give your all to the Lord for the work now. We're to rejoice in labor. Ecclesiastes 3:22. Solomon said, wherefore I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? You're to rejoice in your labors. You're to rejoice in your work. You rejoice in all the work that you do. You know, we have to teach children that work is not a punishment. Work is a part of life. It's not something we fill in the gaps of pleasure and entertainment with. No, work is our life, and then we have time for break, and we have time for recreation and other things. But work is our life. And laboring for the Lord is number one. But work is normal life. What is appointed unto us? Now, that was even in the Garden of Eden with Adam. What happened, the difference is that when Adam fell, sorrow was mixed with his work. So then there is a sorrow mixed with work today. But we ought to rejoice in the work that we do. We ought to rejoice in it and be glad in it. Ecclesiastes 5:19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. To rejoice in our labor is a gift of God. And we ought to do just that. See Isaiah, 13:3, I believe. Let's see if I find it. Yep. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. You and I ought to rejoice in God's highness and who God is. We rejoice in his glory. How about Isaiah 25:9? And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Hey, that's for deliverance. God doesn't always deliver us right away. We have to wait upon the Lord and serve him and stay faithful to God. Let me tell you something. I went through what I would consider a very severe post-traumatic stress disorder, severe anxiety, and dark depression for 2 years. Now, I will always have the anxiety with me. But God lifted the darkness of that depression. And I waited on the Lord. And he lifted that darkness. He walked me through that valley of the shadow of death. He walked me through those days of darkness. That's another broadcast I'm going to do sometime called Days of Darkness. And I'm going to talk to you about that. But God brought me through those days of darkness. I no longer see things as so dark, dismal, as I did before. I went through it for 2 years. Maybe a little over 2 years. It was over 2 years. Dark, dark days. Dark, dark times. Very dark. But God delivered me. I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones for mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness. And it shall be said in that day, lo, this is our God. We have waited for him. And he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. So then we are to rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Amen. Isaiah 66:14. And when you see this, look at this. I want you to look at this verse right here. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice and your bones shall flourish like an herb. and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. It says here that the bones shall flourish. You know, depression, darkness, depression, those mental disorders and those other things, they do weaken the soft tissue. They do weaken the bones. They do weaken the body health-wise. But when our heart is rejoicing, it strengthens our bones like an herb. Like herbs grow, that's what it does. It causes the bones to flourish. It causes them to be strong. Depression can really kill people. It's really hard on their body. It's really difficult. We're to rejoice when we see God deliver us. Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain in the first month. God's provision, he's going to care for us. He's going to meet our needs. He's going to rain down the things that we need. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. Rejoice because God does great things. Rejoice in that. How about Luke 6:23? Let's go there. Luke 6:23. Rejoice ye in that day and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets. You know, you're to rejoice. You're to rejoice in that day when you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. You're to rejoice in that. You're not to get sullen. You're not to feel like a victim, but you're to rejoice in that. That's God's command, us to rejoice when we go through those things. See, look at this. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You ought to rejoice because your name is written in heaven. You ought to rejoice because you've been born again by the Spirit of God, because you know you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior. You repented and turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, admitting, confessing that you were a lost, hell-bound sinner and that you deserved to go to hell, and you knew it. And Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins, and he was buried, and he rose again from the dead. And therefore, you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you were saved. Jesus led you to the cross. He led you to that. God's Spirit led you. The Father led you there. The Holy Ghost of God led you there and showed you the truth. And you were saved. And your name is written in heaven. Not because you feel like it is, but because you know by the facts what the Scriptures say. By faith you know and you believe what God did. And you believe what he said. Amen. We're to rejoice in that. We're to rejoice in the coming of Christ. Right? One day Jesus is coming back. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. How about John 16? 22. And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. There is a joy that no man can take from you, and rejoicing no man can take from you. They can't stop you from rejoicing, no matter what they do to you. When you rejoice over who Jesus is, when you rejoice over who God is, no man can take that from you. Romans 5:1. We rejoice in the glory of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith unto this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. You know, we're to rejoice with them that rejoice, and we're to weep with them that weep. Amen. We're to rejoice. You know what? We're selfish when we don't want to rejoice with people because we don't feel good or we don't feel like it or we're depressed or we're discouraged and people around us are rejoicing and we make everything about our downed life and what we're going through and our depressive spirits and our bad attitudes and our discouragements and maybe somebody else has money and you don't. Maybe somebody else has something that you don't and you're not going to rejoice and you're not going to be happy. Well, that's downright disobedience to God is what it is. And it's not loving your brother. We're to rejoice with them that rejoice. Romans 12:15 tells us that. You know what? 2 Corinthians talks about let's see, 2 Corinthians, excuse me, not 1st, 2 Corinthians. And I wrote this same unto you, lest when I came, I should have sorrow from them of whom I ought to rejoice. Paul talks about their repentance. I rejoice, therefore, that I have confidence in you in all things. Paul rejoiced that they repented. He rejoiced because they were willing to repent of their sin. They got it right. He rebuked them, and they got it right. That they were sorry after a godly manner. Their sorrow wasn't just feeling down in the dumps, a worldly sorrow that worketh death, but it was godly sorrow with work which worketh repentance, not to be repented of. And they rejoiced in that. He rejoiced in that. Paul rejoiced when people preached Christ, even if they were phonier than a $3 bill. He was glad Jesus was preached. That doesn't mean he supported their false preaching or their lack of sincerity. It just means that he rejoiced because Christ's name was preached. Amen. Paul said, holding forth the word of life that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice in service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me. Paul rejoiced when suffering in the service of the Lord and laboring for others in the faith. He rejoiced in that. Paul said, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. He said, I rejoice because I don't have any confidence in the flesh. My rejoicing is in Christ Jesus. Wait a minute, preacher. So what you're saying is, yeah, it's hard for us to get this sometimes because we don't think about it. My rejoicing is in who Jesus is, not who I am. Well, yeah. And not how I feel. So in other words, I have a responsibility, a command, and an opportunity to rejoice over all these things because of who Jesus is. Yeah. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. See that? Twofold admonition. My fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. We're to rejoice over those things. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Double admonition. Philippians 4:4, right? Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you? He rejoiced in his sufferings. Paul rejoiced in his sufferings that he was going through. Because he did it for others. Amen. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice evermore. Man, that's a short one right there. Rejoice evermore. First Peter 4:13. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Rejoice in the Lord alway, and again I say rejoice. Peter says, rejoice inasmuch as your partakers, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Look, we don't see Christ today except in his word. But we rejoice with joy unspeakable. Because one day we're going to see him. We believe in him. We believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So there is much reason to rejoice. You know, there's people in this world, they don't believe this book. But I can rejoice because I do believe this book. I do believe on Jesus Christ. I do believe no matter how I feel, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what my circumstances are, I believe on Jesus Christ. I believe what he said. I believe his word. I believe who he is. I believe he's coming back again. I believe he told the truth. I believe he is the truth. And I can rejoice in that. And I can be glad in that. We rejoice though we're in manifold temptations. And we can rejoice in that. Whom having not seen you love, and whom now, though now you see him not yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable, that the trial of your faith, wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. Hey, I've been there. I've been in those seasons of absolute darkness and heaviness. Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness. Through manifold temptations, manyfold temptations. But I can rejoice in the Lord. I can greatly rejoice in the Lord. Though I be in manifold temptations, I can express joy in the Lord, and I need to express joy in the Lord. No matter what my circumstances are, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Amen? We are to rejoice in the Lord always. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice always. Amen? That's what God tells us to do. And we need to do it.
Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. The trusting heart to Jesus clings, nor any ill forebodes. But at the cross of Calvary sings, praise God for lifted loads. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. The passing days bring many cares, fear not, I hear him say, and when my fears are turned to prayers, the burdens slip away. He tells me of my Father's love and never slumbering eye. My everlasting King above will all my needs supply. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. When to the throne of grace I flee, I find the promise true. The mighty arms upholding me will bear my burdens too. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. Singing I go along life's road, praising the Lord, praising the Lord. Singing I go along life's road, for Jesus has lifted my load. For Jesus has lifted my load. We are often tossed and driven on the restless sea of time. Somber skies and howling tempest oft succeed a bright sunshine. In that land of perfect day, when the mist have rolled away, we will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. We are often destitute of the things that life demands. Want of food and want of shelter, thirsty hills and barren lands. We are trusting in the Lord and according to His word, we will understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He guides us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. For we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. Oh, by and by, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathered home, we will tell the story of how we've overcome, and we'll understand it better by and by. And we'll understand it better by and by.
Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains, lose all their guilty stains. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. Ooh. The dying thief rejoiced to see that fountain in his day, and there may I go as he wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, wash all my sins away, and then may I go vile as he wash all my sins away.
All right, everybody. Okay. So if you want to give to our ministry, I'll give you the way that you can do that. You can click on our sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley page, click on give, and there's PayPal right there. And you can send a PayPal. You can send it to salvationpreacher@gmail.com or pastorcooley@icloud.com. Either one of those. If you'd like to give, or if you'd like to mail us something, you can certainly do that here. You can mail it down to the bottom of the screen here. On this, it has our address in there, and you can mail it to us if you'd like to give to the ministry that way. Some people ask me about a few other methods. I've got this pop money thing that somebody sends me money through. So, and then I haven't really looked at a lot of other options as far as that goes. So anyway, just thought I'd let you know that if you'd like to give to our ministry, you can do that. If you want to keep up with what we're doing here, sermonaudio.com/Pastor Cooley. You can find all of our sermons and everything else. We usually try to download those as soon as we possibly can. So, those are on there. So you can get there, or you can go to our YouTube page and find out about our newest sermons there as well. Broadcasts and everything else are put on there. All right. Anyway, Cash App is really good. I don't think I have that. Somebody asked me about that the other day. Oh, yeah, that's right. I remember talking to somebody about that the other day. They asked me about Cash App. No, I don't have that. I don't even know how to do it. But anyway, so there you go. Those are ways you can give to our ministry if you're interested in doing that. Pray for us, please. We're going to be going out preaching this weekend. All of our men, not all of them, but a great number of them probably, will be going out preaching. It's going to be 30 degrees, so we're going to go somewhere and preach the gospel out there in the open air, hand out gospel tracts, warn people to flee from the wrath to come, and give them the truth of the gospel. Amen? So we need your prayers for that. If you would please pray for us, that the Lord would bless us, keep us safe, and that we would honor and glorify the Lord in all that we do. All right? Anyway, I'll be back, Lord willing, Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. So we will try to also maybe do some streaming live from out there as we're preaching. We try to do that every time we go out a little bit. So we'll do a little bit of that while we're out there. And hopefully, Lord willing, we'll get into some good conversations and everything like that. All right, everybody. God bless you all. I'll be preaching tonight from the book of Acts again, Acts chapter 15. And I'll be talking about Peter's preaching the same gospel as Paul and his testimony that he gave at the council in Acts 15. So hopefully you can catch that later on when it goes online there, okay? All right. God bless you all. Take care.